regular season is here, and so too is the Panthers podcast. Max Henson here alongside my good friend Brian Strickland, and we're getting you ready for week one of the 2017 season.
How long have we been getting ready for the 2017 season, Max? I think waiting for week one since January 1 when we ended up in Tampa Bay, and feels like we've been waiting that long for this podcast, as a matter of fact.
I didn't know this podcast was going to happen this week, I'll be honest. It's been crazy, hectic around Bank of America Stadium. I mean, the start of the season is always really busy, but man, this year things have just been kind of been nuts around here for us. There's excitement. It's a good thing, you know. There's so much excitement right now, and trying to get as much done as we can before we head out west for that trip to San Francisco. But here we are. We made it somehow, some way. We found
Yay,
a way to get in the seats.
Yeah, and the people demand this, so we're back to bring it to them.
I mean, and this is what I said before the show. I mean, if you're a Panthers fan, you want to hear more about your team, and you can tolerate my voice and Brian's voice, I think you're going to enjoy this podcast.
Hope so.
I think so. Yeah. But look, let's get started. Before we get into the week one matchup against the 49ers, so much talk really all throughout the summer about what the roster was going to look like through the training camp, preseason, position battles, and whatnot. So let's just go a little bit into the 53-man roster and how it shook out. And really, Brian, was there anything that stood out or still does stand out to you?
Besides Greg Van Roten making the team?
Who?
Yeah, exactly. So, no, that was a good story. Offensive lineman making the cut. That was kind of unexpected. There weren't a lot of surprising guys that made the roster. I guess there were a couple of surprising guys that didn't make the roster. I mean, you know, Joe Webb at quarterback. The Panthers going with two for the first time in a while. But they kind of addressed that further a little bit after the 53-man came out.
Yeah, I mean, it was a surprise to see Joe no longer part of this team. I mean, for 3 years, he'd always kind of just been a guy that, without playing a huge role, was a big part of things, you know? Just his personality and in that quarterback room, the celebrations with Cam and DA coming off the field where they take their, you know, synchronized jump shots. Joe's a great personality, and he'll be missed. But we've also known for all those years he made the team that that was a valuable spot that he was taking up as a third quarterback who could play some wide receiver and special teams. And you always did wonder, would they ever decide to go with two? They did, and that lasted how long? Not even a full day before Brad Kaya came into the mix?
Yeah.
So I know on a lot of our different platforms throughout the draft seasons for years, we've talked about, when are they going to bring in a young developmental quarterback?
Right.
When are they going to take a shot on one of those guys? Well, they didn't draft one, but they get a six-round pick, although he was a Lions six-round pick.
Yeah, didn't we feature him in our draft previews as a possible target? So I think that's probably why Marty Herney made the move.
Well, you're the expert of all things ACC football, so give us a scouting report on Kai.
Yeah, I mean, Miami's all-time leading passer in terms of yards. That in itself should tell you a lot with the history of quarterbacks down there. He did it in 3 years. Mobile guy, didn't have great protection at Miami, so it's kind of up and down for him. But, you know, he's got a lot of physical tools. Makes a lot of sense for the team to look in that direction.
Yeah. I mean, like what we've been talking about for years now, it's one of those spots where you bring in a young guy, a quarterback, and they're so valuable. I mean, you just have to have them. You never know if injury is going to strike. And so I think it makes a lot of sense to bring in a young guy. Nothing against Joe Webb, but a guy had been in the league for 8 years. You kind of knew what you were going to get at the quarterback position from him. You bring in a young talent, and we've seen it, you know, throughout the history of this league. You can find some gems towards the end of the draft, especially that quarterback spot. Sometimes, you know, it works out that way. And if they like what the tools Kaya has, see if they can develop him. See if he can learn behind Cam and DA and become a serviceable guy to back up Cam maybe down the line. Some other positions on the roster that generate a lot of buzz. Fullback. There's no fullback on this roster.
Yeah.
And I know it's crazy, like using the word buzz and fullback in the same sentence.
Yeah.
But in Charlotte and in Panther fans have been talking about it. I mean, no fullback. What do they make of that? And there was some fear, it seemed, that Alex Arma was going to get snatched away. They're one of their draft picks who they put out there and had to waive him. But he cleared waivers and ended up in the practice squad. So, all that said, Brian, what do you make of the whole fullback situation?
Yeah, I mean, I can see it. I mean, you look back to the preseason. I mean, of course, Mike Tolbert was a stalwart on this team for years, but every year his snaps went down, so they were moving a little bit away from that already. In the preseason, it felt like Armine and Darrell Young, a veteran who did a good job as well. It almost seemed like they were getting snaps just to kind of see what they had and see what they had to offer, I mean, especially with Armine, I feel like. And yet you saw Chris Manhertz, the tight end. You saw Ed Dixon, the tight end, line up in the backfield, mm-hmm. kind of in that role. And I feel like, you know, Coach Rivera talked about it a little bit here with us this week. You know, it kind of harkens back to Richie Brockle, one of our favorites from back in the day.
Right. When
the Panthers really didn't have a fullback, so to speak, before Mike Tolbert came along. And I just feel like the way the offense is going to set up, they're probably going to be fine to roll with those guys as Armine develops. I mean, it's a long season. Who knows, you know, when they would feel like it makes more sense to perhaps add him to the 53.
Yeah, I think there's ways around having a really, you know, power traditional run game without having a traditional fullback in there. I think the Panthers are going to find ways to do that with a guy like Ed Dixon. That said, I do like Alex Armine. I mean, I think what he brings as kind of just an athlete with that size is something that you certainly like having on your practice squad and just kind of see what happens there as he develops.
Yeah, and then, I mean, he could help on special teams as well. The other thing is, you look, you know, we talk about Ed Dixon, we talk about Chris Manhertz. I know fans are excited about this. There might not be room for the tight end because you may see Christian McCaffrey and Jonathan Stewart on the field at the same time, potentially.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Obviously, it's not going to work in that case. It's going to be – it's interesting. I'm not that surprised.
Yeah, I think more was made of it than it needed to be, if we're being honest. But that happens a lot, you know, in that time of the year before the season starts where you get caught up in these things. And, it's understandable to a certain extent. But if we're going to talk about things that maybe too much is being made out of, let's move to the kicker situation because that has become the story that's got – I mean, my mentions, just everybody up in arms about two kickers being on the roster – it's unusual, for sure, but, Brian, I mean, where do you come down on kind of what the Panthers have done with that?
I was wanting to set you up for that question. I wanted you to have to answer about the kickers. So, but, yeah, sure, I'll give it a shot. Why not? It's unconventional thinking. I mean, the Panthers, once in my days here, this is my eighth season, as hard as that is to believe, had two kickers pretty much for half the year because they had a kickoff specialist with John Casey, and that's not the case here. It's a case of, you know, them liking both of these guys and thinking outside the box about, hey, we're still not sure what we want to do here. If we can make it work within the 53, let's keep both of them and see what happens. You know, we're headed towards San Francisco. With that still the case, Marty Herney, you know, indicated, you know, it would make sense that Graham Gano would be the first one to go out there, so to speak, and take the reins of that job. It's something to keep watching. I mean, it is in some ways kind of – it is so unconventional. It's hard to imagine that going on for too long. I mean, Harrison Butker, the rookie, had a good rookie campaign, a good rookie preseason campaign.
Right.
He's eligible for the practice squad. I mean, you know, that's one thing to keep in mind. Obviously, Graham Gano is somebody that could have trade value given what he's done in this league. So maybe you end up with two the whole season, but one of them is on the practice squad. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I think, one important thing to keep in mind, of course, is while it is – final roster cuts and final roster decisions, it's not really final. I mean, the roster is going to be changing, especially the bottom of the roster. It churns so much throughout the course of the year. And, I mean, if we're being honest, do we expect this team to carry two kickers, as you said, for the entire season? No. I mean, and I think it's something, of course, that could change at a moment's notice. You know, there's been reports out there about trade value and the Panthers perhaps seeing what's out there, what the market is. So, yeah, I think San Francisco, Marty Herney and Ron Rivera both pretty much said Graham Gano is kind of they're leaning towards that way, the veteran guy to get out there and be their kicker. But I don't think it's that alarming.
That's the other thing.
I think, look, there are only 53 guys that can make the team, and those are coveted spots. But especially when you factor in the inactives that have gone on game day. I mean, this is not really going to make or break things, especially in week one, right?
And that's one of the reasons you can afford to do this is, like for the short term, definitely, seven guys are not going to play Sunday, not even going to be eligible to play Sunday because of inactives in San Francisco. So, you know, right now the team's relatively healthy, so that part's not a concern. So, obviously, it seems like there's a good chance only one of those guys would be active, and it seems like it would be great.
Yeah. I mean, here's one more thing on Graham, too. He had a really good training camp, and I know everybody doesn't get to see that, of course. Everybody looks at the games, and they're important. He's got two misses during the preseason. They're both 50-plus. I mean, it's not like the guy has missed chip shot, give me field goal attempts. This is not, you know, like we saw in Tampa Bay with Aguayo, right, where it was a case of, you know, 50-plus yard kicks. Look, I understand everybody wants to see those go through the uprights. Nobody wants to see him go through more than Graham Gano.
Yeah.
But I feel like the criticism on him – and look, I know he'll say it himself. He wants to be one of those top kickers in the league. He was not at that level this past year. He wants to be better. But I think – I don't know if he's getting necessarily the fairest of shakes right now.
Yeah, and you said he wanted to see him go through the uprights. He kicked them so hard they almost went through the upright. That's the other thing to remember. I mean, of course, they're misses any way you look at it. Mm-hmm. But one hit the left upright, one hit the right upright. They were good from 60-plus yards if they were good. You know, there's no questions about his leg strength at all. I mean, you know, he's still got an elite leg along those lines. Mentally, I mean, obviously – you know, it's tough being a kicker,
and little
things can throw you off, but also, you know, little things can restore your confidence in a hurry.
Yeah. All right, we're going to move on from the kicker conversation because I think that's enough kicker talk for one podcast. I know it's an important discussion, and it's one everyone's having, but we're going to move on to really the big topic, and that's the season starting. Week one at San Francisco. All this that's been written and talked about, and, I mean, Brian, you and I know better than anybody what that process is like of just waiting for the games to start up again. It's finally here. And for you, what are you most excited to see?
I mean, obviously, it's hard not to start with number one, as we do so many times, and, you know, seeing what Cam Newton can do. I have hopes as a Panthers fan, as a follower of the team, that what we saw in his one series in Jacksonville is what we will, you know, see from the first series Sunday. That might not be realistic, but that was an awesome glimpse of the potential. But that is the one time we've seen him. So that's the all eyes on Cam Newton. How many times have we said that? That's the first thing I'll turn to, of course, is to see how he looks as he starts the first game of the season.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. Of course, everybody is excited to see Cam. Not to, you know, to diss your answer there, but everybody, of course, is excited to see Cam.
Yeah, it's a pretty obvious answer.
Somebody had to say it.
Of course.
I'll expand a little bit. I mean, the offense as a whole, we talked so much this offseason about what this offense is going to be able to do schematically. I've seen so many articles written about they can line guys up here and they can motion guys this way and they can get this. All these guys, almost armchair offensive coordinators, really just intrigued by the weapons Carolina has at its disposal. And now it's finally time to see what the actual offensive coordinator is going to do with these weapons. And no one really knows. It might look very similar to what we've seen in years past with just some new faces out there. It might look a little bit different. Are we going to see some wild calf? Are we going to see that 22 Christian McCaffrey lined up as a wide receiver? Are they going to motion him out? Where is Curtis Samuel going to line up? How much factor will he be?
Right.
How much is Cam going to be running the ball? I mean, there's all these kind of different questions that we have about this offense and the revolution surrounding it is the word that you used before. And so I'm most excited to see just what it looks like.
Yeah, and I gave an obvious answer before. I'll give a boring follow here. I just want to see them put up a lot of points, whatever form it is.
Right.
And I think about the offensive line with that, too. I mean, obviously, I'm not, you know, sorry, Khalil brothers, but I don't keep my eyes on the offensive line all the time during the game. But obviously, their effect is greatly felt. We saw that particularly last year with injuries affected that group. And if those guys do the job they've done in the preseason, I feel like whatever that offense looks like, it'll kind of take care of itself, and we'll see those points that we want to see.
That's a great point. I don't think enough has been talked about the offensive line because all eyes are on the skill position guys. And when you bring in a guy like Christian McCaffrey and Curtis Samuel, it makes sense. Everybody, those are exciting guys to talk about. But if you go back to last year and when we saw this offense really, really struggling, for Ron Rivera, the source of all that was not being able to protect Cam. And that's really the first thing that has to happen for this offense to get back on track is they've got to protect number one. And they've got two new tackles doing it. I mean, no longer are Michael Orr and Mike Remmers the tackles that started last year. And this year, you've got Matt Khalil on the left side. You've got Darrell Williams on the right. And how are those guys going to hold up? I mean, as you said, they were great in the preseason. That whole first unit on the offensive line was tremendous. And we know what to expect from the interior with Khalil, Norwell, and Trey Turner. But those tackles, I think very curious to see how those guys do when the bullets are flying for real here in week one. And that's it's a pretty formidable front San Francisco is going to throw at them.
Yeah, I mean, it's a defense with a lot of talent, rookie talent included. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, Solomon Thomas up front, Reuben Foster, a linebacker, pairing with Navarro Bowman, who's been doing it for a long time. So, you know, but also a defense that finished last in the league statistically last year, didn't have those rookies to state the obvious. But, I mean, how can I not feel good about what the Lions going to do because of what it did in the preseason? But, you know, none of that really matters now. It just matters what happens Sunday along those lines.
I think there's a real reason to be optimistic about the O-line. As we said, they've looked really good, and I think it's a talented group. Matt Khalil, I think, as he said, this is the best place for him to kind of revitalize his career. I mean, I'm excited to see how this season goes, and, of course, it all starts on Sunday. Moving away from the things we're most excited about, I'm curious, Brian, for you, what's your biggest concern going into this first game of the season?
Well, I mean, this will go back to the original 53-man roster a little bit, and one thing we didn't talk about with that was, you know, the situation in the secondary and how that's going to play out from a depth standpoint in particular. That 53-man roster to start out with only had three safeties, mm-hmm. and Colin Jones, you know, is one of those, a guy who's kind of special teams first. He's always stepped up when called upon at safety. But and then at cornerback, you know, you got Captain Munnerland at nickel, and, you know, of course, Bradbury and Worley on the outside. What then?
Right.
So you look at, you know, some of the things the Panthers did right after the 53-man came out. You have to keep an eye on that. Hopefully, though, you can move on to something else and not worry about it, because I don't want to say the injury word, but, mm-hmm. like, I think back to 2013 Buffalo season opener, I believe it was, and
yep.
I don't know if you remember, just we got decimated by injuries in the secondary during the course of that game,
mm-hmm.
and it was like, you know, we had good depth, the Panthers had good depth, right. in the secondary in that game, but there was just like this series of injuries. So if an injury happens in the secondary, knock on wood, Sunday, you're possibly looking at Kevon Seymour at corner, who was not on the team until he was traded for the day after the 53-man roster came out. And then Demetrius Cox at safety could potentially be a factor as well, although, again, you have Colin Jones. So just hoping to see those secondary starters shine and just move on from there.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying it all offseason, too, that the secondary depth is a concern. And, of course, that's going to continue right here into the start of the season. Really like what they've got and with the first group. Of course, as you mentioned, Bradbury and Worley, I think they're in line to have really, really strong sophomore seasons. But the depth behind those guys at the cornerback spot, and as you threw in Captain Munnerland, it's a big question mark. Safety spot as well. So we will see how things shake out there. You can't have great depth everywhere. That's just the reality of the NFL. I mean, there are going to be some spots where you kind of just cross your fingers and hope that, you know, you're able to stay healthy. For me, I mean, it's hard not to say Cam Newton here. Yeah. And I know it's one of the things we're most excited about. And for me, it's also one of the things we're most concerned about, because there's no doubt that not getting the kind of live game reps he's used to getting during the preseason and training camp, I mean, there's a rust factor here. And my question is just, how much rust is there going to be? We know there's going to be some. The timing is something that's going to need to continue to be worked on. Unfortunately, instead of getting to do that in the preseason, he's going to have to do that through some of these regular season games. I think that might mean Carolina's going to have to rely on its run game and its defense, and I think they can. Yeah. I think they can win games that way. But I just wonder how this passing game is going to look with the guy pulling the trigger and Cam Newton, who admittedly wished he had more time throughout this offseason, but he didn't. And that's just the cards that the Panthers have been dealt. And I just wonder what kind of rhythm and accuracy and timing this passing game is going to have with all that said.
Yeah, I mean, you wanted to get off to a good start to the season, and, you know, that goes for the game as well. I mean, I hearken back to the way he started out against the Jaguars again. At the beginning, he had the rhythm, right? I mean, they were in rhythm. The offense was, so it can happen. That was that was his first possession in the preseason. So I'm hopeful that can happen, but this is a different beast.
I mean, let's really honestly look at that drive, right?
Okay, if you insist.
Right. I mean, so the drive features two Cam Newton throws and a whole lot of running the ball. But again, to my point, I think this team can run the ball down some opponents' throats. San Francisco might be the best team to do that against, being that they were 32nd against the run in the entire league last year. And we'll get to that, you know, in a moment here. But, yeah, that one series ended with a Cam Newton touchdown pass. It was one of two throws, and that's still maybe that is what it's going to look like. Maybe it's going to be a very run heavy attack.
Yeah,
I mean, with McCaffrey and Stewart in this O line, that might be very, very successful. But in a situation where, let's say, you're down a few scores, how equipped is this passing game to kind of open it up a little bit? I'm not sure.
I agree, and I just don't think it's going to matter in week one along those lines. I don't think they're going to be down a few scores, because I know I mentioned the concerns about the DB depth, but very excited about, you know, obviously the starting 11 on defense and what they can potentially do against the 49ers.
Well, I mean, let's look more at that 49ers team, and we've talked a little bit about their struggles on the defensive side of the ball last year. 32nd in total yards allowed per game, 32nd in rushing yards allowed per game, 32nd in points allowed per game.
The
ugly.
Triple Crown,
yeah,
right?
Ugly. Certainly, only place they can go from here is up, and that's what they intend to do. But you mentioned it a few minutes ago, Brian. You look at that front seven especially, and there's a lot of talented guys on that. I mean, you talk about the two first-round picks, Solomon Thomas, former teammate and roommate of Christian McCaffrey at Stanford. All signs certainly point to the direction of him being a load to deal with up front. Reuben Foster, arguably the steal of the draft, a top-ten talent who fell all the way to the end of that first round the Niners were able to get. Navarro Bowman is one of the better linebackers in this league. They've got some huge defensive linemen up front. So I don't know if this team is going to be as easy to run against as it was last year.
Yeah, I mean, and how do you know? And, you know, of course, we talk about Kyle Shanahan a lot on offense. Obviously, you know, there's an unknown factor there for the Panthers. You know, on defense, how are the 49ers going to approach it? There is no way for them to go but up, you're right. But I will say, you know, I mean, Reuben Foster, by the way, pretty awesome in the preseason. Looks like a potential rookie of the year. I know it's way too early to talk about that. Solomon Thomas, top five pick. Excited to get a chance to tackle Christian McCaffrey. I'm no doubt enjoyed that story you had about those two guys, by the way. That was a great read on Panthers.com. Throw that out there. But it takes time for rookies a lot of times, too. I mean, that's a reality, too. And you know, the Panthers have been doing this a long time as far as a power running game is concerned. Hey, the Madden simulation said Jonathan Stewart's going to have 118 yards, so that sounds like a big rushing day to me.
I think Panther fans would take that. But we'll see. I mean, a lot of times you hear kind of in the summer, right, this whole defense is ahead of the offense type thing, and the offense generally needs a little more time to kind of work out some of the kinks and kind of get through iron out some of the wrinkles. And so we'll see. I've been talking to people about this game. To me, it almost feels like this could set up, much like it did in 2015 when the Panthers opened at Jacksonville.
Yeah,
a similar type feel of an opponent in one that had been down the previous year, was trying to kind of build itself back up, had some young talent, and that game became very defensive and very tight. And the Panthers were pretty fortunate to get out of there with a victory. And here, Carolina's got to fly all the way across the country to play the Niners out there. And a team that, as you astutely pointed out this week, has won six consecutive openers.
Yeah, how crazy is that?
Which seems crazy.
Yeah, it is kind of, especially since they've won seven games the previous 2 years, and two of those were in openers. Only Bill Vos, Cleveland Browns have won fewer games over the last 2 years.
Amazing.
So I could talk about that weird little stat forever. But, you know, I feel like part of it is that unknown factor we've talked about, you know, with the 49ers' lack of success the last couple of years. Well, first of all, the first four games of that winning streak in season openers, the Niners weren't the best teams in the NFL.
That's true. People forget how good they were. I mean, of course, they came in here and beat the Panthers a few years ago in the playoffs.
Right. But then the last 2 years, you know, be it that they happened to be playing the Rams last year, you know, also this is the third straight year they had a new coach. So in both cases, it was like, you know, new people in place, you know, fear of the unknown. How many times am I going to mention that? So that's a concern. Also, the Panthers have not been the fastest starting team under Ron Rivera and Cam Newton, 2-4 over that same stretch. So, again, there's so many angles to this. They've also overcome slow starts. So let's remember, it's not the end of the world if things go south this game.
This might be the site of the Super Bowl that the Panthers played in, but it is not the Super Bowl.
Right.
It is week one. This is not going to make or break the season. But, of course, every season opener has that extra kind
of
oomph to it, and it feels like it's going to set the tone for your season, win or lose. That's just how it feels as an outsider, as a fan, as an analyst. Maybe if a player is being honest or not, he would tell you. But it has that kind of weight. Look, you're waiting months for this. So there's so much buildup. But we talked about the Niners situation, three head coaches in 3 years. Let's talk a little bit about that newest head coach and really how that impacts the offensive side of the ball for San Francisco, because that's Kyle Shanahan's specialty. Yeah. And that's kind of what everybody is wondering to see. What is he going to bring to that team, and how tough are they going to be to defend?
I mean, based on the preseason, a lot, right? I mean, he's a head coach, offensive coordinator at the same time. And, I will say that, like, Brian Hoyer, quarterback, is a guy that I feel like, you know, can do a good job out there in the right situation.
He can win you a game.
Right. And Kyle Shanahan's going to put him in the right situation. Like I said, in the preseason, you saw that. They looked awesome in a couple of preseason games. Hoyer's just had some health issues, but I feel like when he's been healthy and fresh and everything, that he's you know, a competent NFL quarterback that you have to worry about a little bit. And, you know, along the same line, Carlos Hyde, when healthy at running back, has been, you know, I mean, if the Niners were winning some games and he was staying healthy, he may be named among some of the, you know, the elite running backs in this league. And, of course, he's healthy. They're 0-0, and they're excited about starting a new season. So, you know, those guys are capable of winning games, like you said.
I think Kyle Shanahan's a really smart coach. I think he's a good coach. Obviously, you looked at what he did in Atlanta, and in a matter of years, they went from – and he references himself. They got shut out here in Carolina a few years back, right. And then they came in, and, of course, last year you saw them really peaking. And obviously, he's had some weapons in Atlanta that he doesn't necessarily have here with San Francisco. But you have to anticipate a bit of a transition here. Not saying it's going to be maybe as hard – as it was for him in the early stages of Atlanta. Maybe it'll be harder. We don't know. But you don't just take the Kyle Shanahan Atlanta offense and all of a sudden that's now what we're going to be seeing in San Francisco. He's going to adjust based on his personnel. And as you've used this word, I don't know how many times on this podcast already, but that word unknown. I mean, there's just so much unknown. And that's both sides. It's for, you don't expect, even though Mike Shula has been here for however many years and Ron Rivera, you don't expect them to do the same thing you've seen on tape every year. Every time this week one rolls around, they're going to throw something different at you.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to see what the Panthers defense throws at this Niners offense, because we can talk about Kyle Shanahan and what he's going to do all we want. To me, what's going to be interesting to watch is that Carolina front seven. And it's been good for really as long as I've been here covering the team. This is going on season six. I mean, it's always been a unit that you've looked at and said, man, that's one of the best front sevens in the league. But this year, with Julius Peppers thrown into that mix, and the way K.K. Short has been playing, and the linebacker core with Shaq Thompson continuing to emerge, I mean, it just seems to me like it's ready to reach almost a new level. And being in Steve Wilks' meeting room, I heard him say this, you know, they should not – nobody should block them is how he feels. Up front, ultimately one of those defensive linemen is going to get a one-on-one, and they expect to win it every time. And the San Francisco offensive line, say what you want about the San Francisco roster, it's a good offensive line. I mean, they were looking at last year, 6th in rushing yards per game, 3rd in the amount of sacks they gave up per pass play. They can protect. They can run block. It's going to be a good challenge, I think. But for me, I've got sky-high expectations for that front seven, and particularly that D-line. And I'm excited to see how it looks, especially with number 90 back in the Panthers uniform.
So what you're saying is I wouldn't wish this outcome, but Brian Hoyer may not be healthy at the end of the game, right?
I mean, I'm not saying that.
Okay.
I'm just saying he might be picking himself off the ground a few times. Right. It could be a long day at the office for him because, again, I don't think it's been talked about enough how good K.K. Short has looked. He's kind of just been overlooked, really, in the whole talk about the offense and all the new guys that have been added. But again, the depth that Carolina has up front, Mario Addison is not a big name right now. 9.5 sacks last year. I think he's going to move into an even more prominent role this year. I could see a double-digit sack season for him.
Yeah.
You haven't even mentioned Charles Johnson, Starless. Right. I mean, there's just Vernon Butler. I mean, we're not even sure yet necessarily if he's going to play, but we expect a bigger year from him in year two. I mean, all those names, I mean, it sounds pretty good. And again, I just feel like this Panthers defense, their expectations for themselves is – they don't expect to be blocked.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about what this Panthers defense looks like on paper. You talk about San Francisco and the unknown factor, you know, that it's going to take a while for their offense to get up to speed. And you talk about Cam Newton, you know, trying to get back up to speed. I mean, everything we talked about, and you've already mentioned this, seems to, like, set up for a potential low-scoring game. So you know what's going to happen, Max. It's going to be 45-44. So you know how that goes.
If that happens, we'll talk here next week all about that and how silly we sounded. But I know at the end of the day, no one will really care how it plays out as long as the Panthers come out with a W, no matter which way they get it. I think Panther fans will be happy about that. That's really all that matters, right? Week one, come out of it 1-0.
That's all that matters. Share a first place after 1 week. Can't do any better than that.
I think we came out of this podcast 1-0, if I'm saying. That was a victory for the Strick man. And I think I'm excited to see what we can do next week. What do you think?
I think you had a good day, Max. I'm very proud of you.
A good day. Yeah. We're going to be doing this every week throughout the regular season. Be sure to tune into the Panthers podcast. We're going to have guests, national analysts from across the league coming in to give us their thoughts on the Panthers in addition to ours. Every once in a while, people get sick of our voices, so we'll bring some new ones in to help you break it down. So thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week right here on the Panthers podcast.